it's my intention of the next two or three, I don't know how long it is for the before the election. November the 8th, I believe, something like that. 27 days. And how many hours? We, in our church, of course, I don't know of any other churches, but I can promise you there are churches all over the nation that are praying. I want our Monday night prayer meetings from now to the election to be devoted to the election. You have never, and I say this with all the conviction of my soul, from the day that you were born into this world to this very moment right here, you have never encountered anything family-wise, nation-wise, neighborhood-wise, as serious as this election will be. We can't mess around with it. We can't just procrastinate. We must be active. And to be active, above all, you need to vote. I'm not trying to embarrass you. I'm not trying to whatever. Is there anyone here today you've not had an opportunity to register? You need to do whatever you can to get involved in voting, because this is not nickel and dime stuff. This will shape, if Jesus tarries, this election will shape your children and your grandchildren and their children's destiny. There will be Supreme Court justices appointed to the Supreme Court, because there's three of them that they're pretty sure will be retiring in a little while. So if the candidate that is biased against God and truth gets in that White House, the Supreme Court will be stacked. We feel like that we are hopeless, and I watch the news and I feel frustrated, because it looks like one of the candidates can do anything in this world. Now, you did not hear me say a name. But it looks like they can do anything in the world. And, oh, there's nothing to that. The other one, they drag up a tape that it happened 11 years ago. It was wrong, but they have laid that one out on the chopping block. You know, oh, Lord, help me, I don't know. You know everything is stacked against one of the candidates. The news people are locked arm in arm. And I'm going to tell you something that God put in my heart. I know this is not the first time it's been said, but the Republicans want this election to go just like the Democrats want it to go. Do you understand that? There's a certain person that the Republicans do not want to win. And so they're joining forces behind closed doors with the Democrats, anybody but this person. And the reason why they don't want this person to win is because if this person wins, their playhouse is disrupted. Is this all right? They have pulled deals and shenanigans and scratched each other's back, and I've got a bill coming up in my district, and if you'll do this, I'll do that, and they all get together and hobnob together. And all at once, there's a voice coming along and said, we ain't going to do that no more. And it is putting the fear of God into these career politicians. Now, that was supposed to be the end of my sermon. But at least I got your attention. I'm telling you, I'm carrying, just like you are, I'm carrying a weight on my shoulders. This is not nickel and dime stuff. There's nothing would encourage me about America any more than after the day of election, a certain candidate showed the whole population of America that there's still hope for this nation. So today, with no apologies, I'm going to Exodus chapter 17, and I'm going to talk about a man on top of a hill whose hands were heavy. He is the lawgiver. Do you understand that? Moses is the lawgiver. God gave it to Moses, but Moses conveyed it. Let's go. Are y'all going to help me out today? You promise. Then came Amalek. When? After they had no water, they were weary, they were fatigued, disappointed, frustrated with God. And early in the verses, God showed Moses a rock. If you just be patient, you will find the rock somewhere. And God spoke to Moses, said, strike the rock. And water came out and refreshed them. But now in verse number 8, then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek tomorrow. Fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill. There's somebody standing on top of the hill. Got a good vantage point. He sees what's going on in Washington, D.C. and Washington, N.C. with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. Moses, the lawgiver, Aaron, the priest, and Hur, the laity. Representation. They're on the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. The key was in holding the hand up. Y'all, when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. It's all in the hand. I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. They get tired sometimes. And when they drop down, sometimes my joy has a tendency to diminish. But if I can just get my hands back up. Halamohushataya. If I can just look at that problem that's aggravating me, sapping my life out of me, and say, you're not going to keep my hands down, I'm up. Hallelujah. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone. They didn't have to go looking for it. It was within reach. Lo, I'm with you always. Do y'all see that? The stone is not far. You don't have to go somewhere and get it. The builders rejected it. But the same stone that the builder rejected became the chief cornerstone. Not another stone, not a refined stone, not a redesigned stone. The builders rejected it. We don't want that stone. But when they got the building built, they took the stone that was rejected, put it in space, and the, oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me go. He sat on the stone. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady. He couldn't do it by himself, but he's got the priesthood, the ministry. He's got the laity, and he's the man of God. He's the lawgiver. And they were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, now they did it with the edge of the sword, but behind the edge of the sword, there was a man on the top of the hill holding his hands up. Sometimes you're on your job and you don't know what to do. You need to think back, do I have anybody on the top of the hill holding my hands up? I'm tired, I'm weary, and everything's going wrong, but is there somebody that I can just find out? Yeah, he's got my hands up. If you know somebody's holding your hands up, you can make You can deal with a lot of stuff. They don't need to give you sermons and sermonettes and all that. Just let you know I got your back. I got your hands up. I'm holding you. Sabakad. Y'all don't recognize it, but I'm preaching. Joshua with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You're not going to have to fight them again. Of course, you read history and there's Agag, you know, he's an Amalekite. But there come a day when there was not one of them living on the planet Earth. Check the DNA of all humanity right now, and you have not found anybody from the Amalekites, Amalekites. Because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Did y'all get all that? Would you go with me to Revelation? Is your interest being held? War. Revelation chapter 12, verse number 7. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. War, invisible conflict. I can tell you the conviction of my heart that there's atmospheric war going on right now like this nation has never seen. There are powers and principalities colliding, trying to pervert men's mind, trying to dig up trash, trying to sway invisible powers and principalities, trying to sway the direction of the United States of America. And God has said, we say, God, why don't you do something? And God said, I told you that you have a responsibility, and your responsibility is to pray. You pray, I answer. You call and I respond. I can handle all the Amalekites. I can handle all the Democrats. I can handle all the Republicans. But I'm waiting for my church to get before me and recognize that there's a need, that there's a crisis. When you recognize there's a crisis, you call and I will answer you. I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't know about. I'll quieten the heavens down. I'll cast demons down, powers and principalities. There was war in heaven. Michael, the high archangel, and Satan, the dragon, they prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels cast out with him. We're not going to read any more there, Brother Craig. I want you to just go to Daniel chapter 10 for a moment. Hallelujah. I feel like that we're cramping the devil a little bit right now. Daniel chapter number 10 and verse number 10, Brother Craig. Daniel is praying. It's a national crisis. What's going to happen? They don't know. But Daniel prays. It's time for the Jews to be released and go back to Israel, to Jerusalem. Behold, a hand touched me and set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hand. Said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken these words unto me, I stood trembling. From the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. I'm come to give you understanding. But the prince, listen, there are regional powers, there are national powers, and there are international powers. Help me, Lord. But the prince, the high-ranking demonic spirit of Persia, Iran, withstood me 21 days. There was a conflict. There's Michael, the man, the angel of God, the archangel, if you will, none higher. And he's locked in combat with this power of darkness, this demonic spirit, amen? The prince of the kingdom of Persia. Michael is saying, I'm going to Jerusalem to visit Daniel, to inform him. And the prince of Persia said, you are not going to Jerusalem. You are not moving into that territory. It's off limits. Go back where you come from. And conflict broke out for 21 days. You could probably, if you could hear spiritual things, you could hear colliding going on. You could hear everything smashing and whatever kind of wrestling that the angels do. But after 21 days, the prince of Persia had to lick his wounds and back off. And Michael went down and said, Daniel, the first day you prayed, we heard you. But there was obstacles, there was barriers, there were things holding back, and I had to engage in battle with the prince of Persia. But soon I tell you what's going on, I got to go back. There's none standing with me but your prince, which is Gabriel. I ain't even got off. I'm talking about whether you want to know it or not. There's a power in Washington, D.C. that you don't see. And what you see in Washington, D.C. is a result of the power that you don't see. It's not because they're shrewd people. It's not because they're smart. It's not because they know how to be a shyster or whatever. They are under the influence of unseen powers. The enemy speaks to them with suggestions. A woman, Madeline O'Hara, is that her name? One woman, one person, one human being caused prayer to be taken out of schools. She is not smart enough. She is not intelligent enough. She does not have charisma enough. She does not have the capability enough. There's no way she could do that in her strength. But she was not operating in her strength. She was operating in that unseen power that Paul said, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. We don't wrestle against human agencies, but we do wrestle against principalities, powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, against the powers of the air, of the prince of the air to come. The aggravation that you go through with your children, with your whoever they are, the frustrations that you go through, disappointments that you encounter, it's not accidental. It's not coincidental. There's a force. There's a personality tormenting you. Because the devil knows, let me tell you something, God help me. The devil knows without a shadow of a doubt that he does not have the authority, he does not have the capability of smashing me or smashing you. Doesn't have it. So therefore he operates through pseudo, through suggestions. But with your hands raised, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not steel and wood and magnesium and all. No, the weapons of our warfare are mighty to God, to the casting down of strongholds. Hallelujah to God. And everything that brings itself in against the Spirit of God. Little Mr. Believer, you may never have done exploits. Little Mr. Believer, you may not have never done things to write in a book about, but you have got the weapon to win this war, and that weapon is yours in your tongue. No weapon. Somebody say it. No weapon. Look at your neighbor again and say it. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. Daniel, verse number 10, chapter number 10, verse number 1 and verse number 16. One of the similitude of the sons of men, he looked, this angelic being looked out like a man, touched my lips, and then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood by me, O my Lord, by the vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. Verse 18, there came again one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. And let's go to verse number 20. Knowest thou therefore why I come to thee? Now I will return. I've taken care of you. I brought you the information I give you. You know what that information was? The entire prophecy of world history. Chapter 9. Daniel prayed and God gave him chapter 9, verse 24 through 27. God gave him the whole panoramic view of history. What's it? From beginning to end. And he gave, in just those short verses, and he gave us the ability, the insight to say this 69 weeks, but this is, am I talking to you? So he goes back now, he leaves Daniel. He's conveyed Daniel the answer that Daniel sought. Daniel don't no more inquisitiveness about him. And they, look, listen, let him. Knowest thou, verse 20, wherefore I come unto thee, and now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia, which is Greece, shall come. It's invisible things. Now, I've given you my introduction. There's a major war going on this planet. A war that involves anything decent. God raised America for a specific purpose, for a definite purpose. It is God who elevates nations and demotes nations. At what time I speak to pluck one up and so forth. Not every nation has the same destiny or purpose. America has a unique purpose. That is to be a light. History shows that America has sent more missionaries to carry the gospel to the areas of the world than any other nation on earth. God cannot just close his eyes at that. I will bless you, he said, for extending my word. And because of that, those unseen powers that exist, honey, it's not, and if you've been reading any news, are y'all going to give me some time? If you've been reading any kind of news for the last 2 or 3 months, you see again and again, exorcists, demonic. It's becoming universities are teaching exorcism. Is that the way you say it? Casting out devils. Oh, it's popular now among the college campuses and all. You know, maybe they make a joke of. But America has been raised up for the purpose of propagating the word of God. Do you think that the devil is going to sit idly by and let us just send Bibles and literature and missionaries? He's going to stop it the best way he can. Amen? When the law of God, Moses goes up to that mountaintop, he is symbolic of the law of God. Symbolism, please understand that. He's the lawgiver. Grace and truth came by Jesus, but the law came by Moses. The law of Moses, the law of God, is not 10 commandments. That's part of it. The first 5 books of the Bible are the books of the law. The whole Bible is the book of the law, but they are specifically. Moses goes up to that mountaintop and he is symbolic of the law, the rule of God. Aaron and Hur go up there, symbolic of the priesthood and of the laity. Joshua and the army stay down to fight in the trenches. Amen. And the battle begins. And as long as Moses has got his hand, ladies and gentlemen, when the church holds the law of God up, we will never lose. Am I talking to you? When we have the fortitude and the strength to let the principles and precepts of God be known, Moses, the lawgiver, his hands get tired. He drops his hands, and when he drops his hands, the Amalekites win the battle. When the church ignores the law of God, am I preaching to you? When the church ignores our mission, when we ignore our call, that which is to propagate the law of God, we're not here to make people feel good. We're not here to have hullabaloos. We're not here to run around and just harp all the time. We're here to confront the devil. Amen? We're here to challenge hell. We're the conscience of this nation. I said we're the conscience of this nation. Ahab, Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? You know what Elijah was? He was the conscience. If I could just, Ahab's thinking, if I could just get rid of him. And there are churches that's got some good Holy Ghost people in it, and some of the non-Holy Ghost nimcompoops are saying, if we could just get rid of them, you better not hope you get rid of them. Sometimes you survey the situation and you see the hands that should be held up. They've been bruised and battered and beat and trampled on until